Yes, thank you for coming. Thank you, praise. Glory be to God. Yes, thank you for coming. Today's topic is, we're calling it Filling God's House. Amen? Filling God's House. God has a house that is not yet full, and he wants it full. Amen? He wants it what? He wants it full. Yes. Before we do that, as we worshipped, I remembered the dream I had when I was being taught that you can teach yourself how to see. You remember that dream of microbiology? Okay, that you can go online and teach yourself. Now, the key thing about that, basically, is seeing in the spirit. The main thing is about your imagination. All right? Some of the things you imagine, okay, are actually the eyes of your heart that are seeing. Hallelujah. So one of the things if we are worshiping, we have to learn to train ourselves to like imagine what we are singing about. You see, the imagination is a powerful thing, all right? Yeah. Glory be to God. And the more you train it, the more you focus on that which you're imagining, all right? Man, you end up seeing amazing things if you just focus, Glory be to God. Anyway, I was thinking about that as we worshipped, and I thought I should tell you. So, the topic today is filling God's house. And, we are getting these lessons from Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. We are using the 2010 e-edition. And the copyright information page is our page one. Let's first read a few scriptures, two passages of the Bible. Luke chapter 14, from verse 15 to 24. It says, "Now when one of those who sat at the table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.' Then he said to him, 'A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. All right, for I say unto you that none of those who are invited shall taste my supper.'" All right? The key verse there is verse 23, which says, "Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.'" Hallelujah. Remember, the topic today is filling God's house. Okay, this master sent out his servants to go and get people to fill his house. Eh? All right? So even us, God is sending us to get people to fill his house. Eh? Essentially, this is evangelism. Eh? This is sharing the good news. Eh? Okay? This is telling people about Jesus, that Jesus died for them. Eh? Okay? It is basically bringing people into the kingdom of God by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Now let's open Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to 10. Yeah, just go down a few verses and you'll get to Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 1 says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him," Jesus, "to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he spoke this parable to them, saying, 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Okay? Let's pause a bit here. Eh? You know, we have read how it says that angels rejoice. Eh? Okay? I said to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Eh? Okay? In another gospel, it actually talks about angels eh? Rejoicing. Eh? You know that scripture? Eh? Eh? Yes or no? And it's there. Somewhere, you know, this is Luke, either in Mark or Matthew. It talks about how angels rejoice eh, over one sinner. I read a book, I've forgotten the book, which was explaining why angels rejoice eh, when one sinner comes to repentance. Eh. It says that one of the reasons why they rejoice is because they work with us. Eh, okay? To bring in those souls. You see, eh? So when a soul is won, okay, it is also their victory. You see what I mean? Eh? It is their victory, and they will share in the reward, eh? Okay? So that's one of the reasons why they rejoice. All right? Anyway, let's go on. Verse 8. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you," here we are, "there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Okay? I'm surprised that Joan didn't know that what we wanted is in verse 10. Okay, so you've seen it. Eh? Okay, angels doing what? Rejoicing over one sinner who repents. Why do they rejoice? Because they work with us. Eh? Okay, so when there's a victory, it is also their victory. Okay? And they will share in the rewards. Okay? Even angels are going to be rewarded, by the way. Hallelujah. Amen? Angels are going to be what? Rewarded. Eh? Okay? Yeah, angels are working on our behalf. Eh? Okay, they're working on our behalf, and they're also working for us. Glory be to God. Never forget that. Eh? There is never a time when you are without help. You understand? Eh? There is never that time. Eh? Okay? There's always help at your disposal. Eh? Sometimes we just have to learn how to cooperate with the angels. Eh? Okay? And how to make them, how to work with them. Okay? One of the things is our words. Okay? What we speak, our mindsets, okay, what we're tuned into, what we are plugged into. Glory be to God. But angels, okay, I didn't mean to talk about angels, but I sense I should digress there a bit. Eh? Okay, angels, okay, we have read, for those of you who have just come, he says that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner. Okay? We're talking about filling God's house. Eh? Okay? And here it says in Luke chapter 15 verse 10 that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Okay? I read a book. Once again, I'll tell you. I read a book some time ago where it was explaining why angels rejoice over one sinner who repents. Eh? Basically, when someone gets born again, it is not only you who rejoices, but angels who rejoice. And this book was saying, there's someone who, I think an angel told him, that we rejoice because, we work with you. In order to bring in that soul. Eh? Okay? So when there is that victory, of a sinner coming into the kingdom of God, that victory is also the angels' victory. Because they are working also. Eh? And they are also going to be rewarded for that. You see, that's why they rejoice. Because they are working also to bring in that soul. And when that soul is won, you see, their work, was not in vain. So they rejoice and they're going to be rewarded for that. Glory be to God. Amen. Yeah, so I've just remembered the stories of how my kids were born. And this, I wrote it in the book. Okay. You remember the morning or the day my wife was going, to give birth to the firstborn, Eden. Okay, you remember there'd been a dream saying, the child will be born in the States. Yeah, but we didn't know how it was going to work out. Then that morning, anyway, when she's leaving, I had a dream. The previous afternoon. I was seated somewhere talking to God about this thing. I was like, man, what if this thing doesn't work out? And I was telling God, I believe it is you who told me. Okay. Anyway, so that afternoon, the Lord told me that this, this thing has to happen. Okay. Your wife has to be allowed into the state. She has to enter. Okay. And then he told me, okay, man, there are a few times when I have had God, So I'm seated at the chief. In those days, this is 2011, the chief had gardens behind there. Okay, so I went there. It was, I think, a Sunday. Okay, so I went, I sat there, all right? So while I'm sitting there, talking to God about these things, whether my wife will be allowed into the country, he tells me that she will be allowed into the country, into the U.S. Then he says that right now, angels have been sent have been sent at every airport where she's going to go through. You see, at every airport. So he told me angels have now been, he said actually, he told me that the project has begun today. You know, he told me right now angels have been, are now stationed at Entebbe Airport, because you remember she was leaving when she was 37 weeks, was it? 36 weeks, you know, and you know, you're not supposed to fly at a certain gestation, you know. Anyway, so he told me angels have been sent at Entebbe Airport to ensure that no one stops her. Okay? Then he told me others will be waiting for her in Dubai. You know, because Entebbe can get you to, they can allow you to fly. Then you reach Dubai, now that's journey, Dubai to the US, it's like 17 hours. So man, Emirates can say, we can't take that risk. What if something happens on the plane? Okay? So she said, so God told me, even in Dubai, they're also there. There are those at Entebbe, there are those at Dubai, waiting. And waiting not just for cheering, but to make to put circumstances in order, in order that which is non-stop. Then others are at the port of entry in the US. Because you see, you can go from Entebbe, Dubai, then the US, they throw you out. Okay? And God says, even there, you see that that project has begun today. Now, you know the story, okay? Things happened and she was allowed into the country. It's in the book. Okay, so that happened. The firstborn. Then, by the way, the topic today is filling God's house. Okay, but I just felt, so when I read about the angels here, somehow I felt like I should digress a bit. Hopefully, I don't know why, maybe to encourage some people. You know, there's always help. Angels are there. The reason why they rejoice over one sinner who repents is because they have been working with you to get in that one. As you're talking to the sinner, okay, the angels are working also, okay? And maybe they are the ones who actually made the person come to you. The person doesn't know it, but their steps are being guided to you, you know, okay? So when the person gets born again, because they have been working. So angels are there to work with us and to work for us. Okay, so the second child, okay, so God again says, you know, the second child should also, will also be born in the States. Okay, now, again, the day before Gerald left, man, God told me again, you know, he told me that the other angels, which worked on the other project, are the same ones coming back. Because those angels know what it takes. They handled that, they know what it takes. They know what it means. So they are the same ones coming back for this other one. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. So when you think about those things, you realize that angels, you know, angels are not God. I hope you know that. Angels are not what? And so if they're not God, that means, I hope this is not heresy. But sometimes, okay, this is my opinion, all right? Sometimes they don't do a perfect job because they are not God. That's why the scripture always says we are going to judge angels. How can you judge someone who's perfect? Do you understand? Okay, so that's why it tells me that the other angels who handled the other project are the same ones who work, because they know what it takes. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. This is interesting. Let's continue along the angel beat. All right? Yeah, sometimes you have to flow with God. Don't get filling God's house, Okay? I think God wants, this angel thing. All right? Yeah. There's some of you who have heard me tell that story, which I first heard it from or read a sermon that John Umulinde, Apostle John, Umulinde, which he preached in the States some time ago. And so he says that many years ago, and he met a guy. And so he was ministering somewhere. So he's telling this story in the States, but the story is telling happened, in Uganda. So he says he was ministering, okay? And so they were praying, warfare, I guess. Then all of a sudden, as we're here, and some guy just comes and falls down here. You understand? Okay? From the bridge, a guy falls here. Okay? So anyway, so they get the guy. Then the guy starts to explain things. Okay? Of course, he wasn't born again. He was basically assigned to mess them up. Okay? Because he was working for the other kingdom of darkness. Okay? So, but now these guys who prayers, okay, basically overpowered him. But he had come in this spirit. And now the prayers these guys were making messed him up. And then, he fell down there. All right? Now, this guy had what? And so he begins now. So anyway, later he gets saved. Okay? Then he begins to tell these Christians, ignorant Christians, who should be knowing these things, but they didn't know. This guy is the one now who tells them. Meanwhile, he doesn't know the Bible. He tells them how they used to hammer, they used to hit angels, God's angels. Have you heard of that story? Okay, that's why you're here. They used to hit angels, as in them, the people, in the supernatural and with demons. Have you ever wondered how a barren woman, barren, 20 years, no kid, they go to church, not LAT, okay? They come to a church, the people pray, no kid. You understand? They do everything, medical science, zero. Then they go to a witch doctor. And they get a kid. You've heard those stories. How do you explain those things? And this child is not a devil. It's a child, a human being. All right? How do you explain what those things? Church failed, but not LAT. It wasn't LAT. Then they go to what? Witches, man, and they get kids. Okay? So this guy explained that thing. Who has ever had me talk about this? You've never? Anyway, so he said, okay, he explained these things, what happens is that when you pray as a child of God, okay, what you have prayed for is sent by God, okay, with the angels. The angels come carrying your answer, all right? Then he said, so when they see, in the spirit, this angel coming, okay, they see an angel coming from heaven with something, they would target, areas of his body which are not protected, all right? And so, maybe if the angel's head didn't have an armor, they hit arrows, whatever, at the angel's head. You know, with the intention that he drops, okay, what he's carrying. And when he drops it, they get it. You see, let's say it is a child. The angel has been bringing a child. So they hammer with idea. You see, he said that if they see maybe the feet are bare, all right, they unleash fire. You know, angel's feet, man, fire, then drops. And so they take the thing. And then they give it to what? Someone who, you know, the demons get the kid, a gift from God. And they take it to what? And they give it to a woman who went to do what? Witchcraft. And the woman conceives and gets a child. Okay? So, this guy said that, so they understood that angels, okay, like your angel, or the angel who's bringing your answer, okay, is dressed. How he's dressed depends on you. You know, remember, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God. Okay? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield, you should be dressed with the shields, ready to preach the gospel. Okay? You have to have the what? The what? The sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, you should know that. Can you think it? You know, okay? And what? And the belt, you know, All right? Of what? Of truth. Okay? So now, how the angel is dressed depends on you. Okay? In a sense, it is you who dresses him. So if you don't have the helmet of salvation, you understand, Your angel or the angel bringing your staff is coming without what? The helmet of salvation. You know? And if there are things there that they're going to hit him, and if they hammer him before he gets to you, if the angel is not whatever with what? You, rather, with the shoes, the preparation to preach the gospel, the angel is coming without shoes. So they will look at him, his body then, shoes bare, feet are bare. Then they unleash fire, at the feet. And he drops what he's carrying. Glory be to God. All right? Remember this guy who fell down is the one who begins to explain these things. Meanwhile, he doesn't know the scriptures. He doesn't know Ephesians 6. Okay? But then he helps the Christians now. He sheds light of how the spirit world operates. Hallelujah. How the spirit world what? Operates. This is why it's good to listen to these guys who have been in those demonic things, who get saved. Of course, you have to be cautious. There are some things which, but those guys, man, have what? Have info. Hallelujah. They can help you to understand the Bible better. Now you know why people go to witch doctors and they get stuff. Okay? Okay? That is one reason, one explanation. Okay? So now, go back, read about the armor, and make sure that you're dead. Because how you're dressed, is how the angels who are bringing stuff for your ministering angel, that's how he's dressed. You see? And he can be hammered and he drops the thing. Okay? Your dimes, your money. And they get it and give it to Usodil. Usodil has appeased them, you understand? And so now they start to look out. Because they have to give some guy stuff. He has appeased, he has sacrifice a kid, now they have to know. So angels are what? Now looking, which angel is coming there. Don't stand by with their weapons ready to hammer. Okay?
All right? Another story, okay, I heard. I mean, these stories, I think they're all on my phone. But the problem is looking for them. Another story I heard is some guy, yeah, he got saved. He's in Uganda. He was sharing, he was saying that there is a place, you know, and it's around a water body in Uganda where guys go. They're doing, man, supernatural things. All right? Now, you remember when Jesus was born, okay? The wise men from the east saw a star. So Jesus, you know, there was a star, the star of Jesus. Okay? You remember God told Abraham that your children will be as many as the stars. Okay? Notice when you become good at something, you're called a star, like a football star. That is not from the blue. It is not a random term. Basically, everyone has a star. Jesus had a star, didn't he? All right, everyone has a what? Now. Now. If you have, let's say, what some people call a high calling, basically a great call. There's a great call upon your life. Okay? In whatever field. Maybe you're supposed to be a great educationist. Like, you know, a high ranking. Or one of the greatest preachers. Or you're supposed to be one of the richest people, you know. Okay? Your star will stand out. For guys who see what those things, it will be so bright. It will stand out. Because you're supposed to stand out. Okay? For the benefit of people, not for your sake. Okay? So now these guys, see, guys in Uganda, they know these things. Who taught them? I don't know. But anyway, if they are doing them in Uganda, it means it is being done all over the world. Guys who operate in the supernatural. All right? So he said that that now when someone, let's say Sudil, okay, wants wealth, all right? Remember, every good and perfect gift comes from what? The Father above. But like we saw how angels are hammered, and they take that gift which was from God. The devil gets it and he gives it to what? An evil person. So he says, these guys, he was part of them, he saw them, you know. For him, actually, he had been taken there by someone. He saw that there's this woman. Anyway, to cut a story short, they look at stars, people's stars. You understand, eh? So if someone wants to be a great musician in Kampala, but they don't have the gift. They are not called for that. They don't have the talent. This guy look at the stars of what? Yes. So they find what? They find someone who has been called to like sing, was given the gift. You see, but they are not serious. They are not using what they were given. Okay? So, they get their star. You know that star, And they do something to it and they get that thing from there and give it to someone else. You see, Then all of a sudden, someone who didn't have anything, man, one of the greatest in the country. But they got it from somewhere. They stole it from someone who wasn't serious. You understand? They were udomant, and so that gave them the what? The leeway to what? To get it from. But they look at stars, people's stars. Everyone has a star. Glory be to God. Okay? Someone was called to be wealthy, you know, but they are not serious, okay? They are not obeying the laws of the kingdom, you know, And so, you know, So now, man, they said the guy is just, you know, the guy said he saw it, man. The guy is doing it at a certain water body in Uganda. Glory be to God. Okay? Angels are there to work for us and to work with us. Okay? And we are called laborers. All right? We need to work with them. Okay? All right? That's enough, I guess. We're talking about filling God's house. And we read some scriptures, but the one which made us digress to talk about angels was Luke 15:10, which says that, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Why do the angels rejoice? It's because they have been part of that work of getting that person into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen? Yep. So, let's read the final quest now. The topic is filling God's house. Okay? Angels are working with us to make sure God's house is filled. People get born again. Page 62, verse 6. Page 62, paragraph 6, sorry. Regina says, I turned and looked back in the direction I had come from. Okay? Let's go back to the other one, topic. All right? People who understand what? The supernatural. You know. Okay? So you saw how angels are hammered. You saw how stars, people look at stars, and they get people's gifts and callings and give them someone. So that's why you should be serious with what God has called you. You know, with what he has given you. You know, the people who want it, the people who are paying a price for it. Evil price, of course. You know, and they can take, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. They can do what? You see, they can do what? Yeah. And let me stop there. So, Regina says, I turned and looked back in the direction I'd come from. Okay? Remember, he has been at the throne of the Lord. Now he's walking away. Okay, so as he's walking away, he turns back. Okay, to look the side of the throne. He says, I turned and looked back in the direction I'd come from. Standing before his throne, I could see the entire room. The spectacle was glorious beyond description. Millions filled the ranks. Each individual in the lowest rank was more awesome than any army and had more power. It was far beyond my capacity to absorb such a panorama of glory. Even so, I could see that only a very small portion of the great room was occupied. I then looked back at the Lord and was astonished to see tears in his eyes. He had wiped the tears away from every eye here except his own. As a tear ran down his cheek, he caught it in his hand. He then offered it to me. This is my cup. Will you drink it with me? There was no way I could refuse him. As the Lord continued to look at me, I began to feel his great love. Even as foul as I was, he still loved me. As undeserving as I was, he wanted me to be close to him. Then he said, I love all these with a love that you cannot now understand. I also love all who were supposed to be here but did not come. Okay? People who didn't get saved or they got saved at one point and then they checked out. God says, I love all who were supposed to be here but did not come. I left the 99 to go after the one who was lost. My shepherds will not leave the one to go after the 99 who are still lost. I came to save the lost. Will you share my heart to go and save the lost? Will you help to fill this room? Will you help to fill these thrones and every other seat in this hall? Will you take up this quest to bring joy to heaven, to me and to my Father. All right? God wants his house full. Eh? That's what we read in Luke 14. Eh? Okay? There was a master, you know, he threw a party and he, you know, invited people. They didn't turn up. He sent out his servants again and he said, I want my house full. Eh? Okay? So we see here God also wants his house full. Eh? Okay? His house and also the thrones. You understand? Some thrones are empty. And he wants them what? Full. Eh? But especially the house. Because if someone is not in the house, then they're in hell. That's what makes it so sad. Eh? They are where? In hell. And God wants what? That house full. Eh? Okay? There's a dream I had this morning. I'll see whether God provides an opening for me to share it. Yeah. Okay? Do you remember I told you this last Wednesday? Most of you know Jesse Duplantis. Okay? Man, the guy had some powerful heavenly experiences. Very powerful things. Okay? But so he said that in one of the experiences, Jesus told him, Jesus said that my worst day has not yet come. Said my worst day has not yet come. We always think that the Lord's worst day was when he was on the cross, you know, when he cried and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, he was naked. Basically, the body was in pain. Okay. If you read some book, this is, I'm forgetting my powerful books. I think it is a book of Nicodemus, some book which is not in the Bible, but mine's powerful. Okay? He talks about how, you know, the conversation, the dialogue they were having with the devil. The devil was their man, harassing him, telling him things. Man, that book is powerful. You wonder why it wasn't put in the Bible. But that is, we shall find out one day. Okay, so now he was, you know, he's in a situation like that. The devil is on your case. You are in pain. The Father has forsaken you. All right? You see, so we already think that that was his worst day. Then he went down, you know, to hell. Okay? But he told Jesse that that is not my worst day. My worst day is in the future. The day when finally, people will be sent to hell to be there eternally. People he died for. You understand? People he suffered for. And now seeing them, you know, being condemned forever to hell. He said that is his worst day. You see, the Lord's worst day. He said it is in the future. Like, that, in a sense, he doesn't look forward to that day. Seeing people, perishing forever, because they refused what he did for them. Now, this is why he's saying that he wants the house full. You understand? You know, the Lord says, I want my house full. He tells Jonah, will you help me to fill my house? And that is what he's saying to us today. Will you help the Lord to fill it? Will you tell someone about the Lord? You know, will you tell someone about the Lord? Will you stop fearing to share about with Jesus? Okay? There's a portion in the final quest about some guy, a homeless, Angelo. For him, he just gave out a tract. And the Lord man was so pleased. A tract. In fact, that's how Angel actually got saved. You know, someone gave him a tract. He read it. He's on the streets, homeless. Got born again. And thereafter now, you know, he was giving people tracts. Okay, and the guy man, he's high ranking in heaven. Hallelujah. So he's like, you know, God is asking us, he's requesting us, will you help to fill my house? If you can't speak, you can give a tract. Okay? You can send a message telling someone how to get born again. You understand? Eh? God wants his house full. Eh? Remembering that his worst days come when people are going to be sent to hell. All right? Okay? Page 63, paragraph 1. God tells Jonah, this is judgment for my own household, and my own house is not full. The last battle will not be over until my house is full. Only then will it be time for us to redeem the earth and remove the evil from my creation. If you drink my cup, remember? You know? Anyway, we shall see. If you drink my cup, you will love the lost the way that I love them. Okay? Then he took a cup so plain that it seemed out of place in a room of such glory, and he placed his tear. You remember? The Lord was crying. Eh? Okay, so he placed a tear in that cup. He then gave it to me. I have never tasted anything so bitter. I knew that I could in no way drink it all, or even much of it, but I was determined to drink as much as I could. The Lord patiently waited until I finally erupted into such weeping that I felt like rivers of tears were flowing from me. I was crying for the lost, but even more, I was crying for the lost. Hallelujah. Okay? There's a lady, she went to heaven. Eh? Remember, one of the God's generals, Robert Sladen, wrote about in his first book. Eh? She was called Amy Semple McPherson. She used to pray, you know, saying that, God, give me a burden for souls. You know, eh? Give me a burden. She was an evangelist, eh? Powerful woman. Eh? Okay. It is said, and I think it is true, that the mantle Catherine Kuhlman operated in, eh? You know, eh? Was from Amy Semple McPherson. Okay, so that was Amy Semple McPherson, Catherine Kuhlman, okay, and then Benny Hinn. Eh? It was the same mantle. Eh? And you can see all of them the way they operated. Eh? You know, eh? Okay? But before Amy Semple, there was a lady called Maria Woodworth Eater. Do you know those people, Rachel? You haven't interested into God's generals. Eh? Okay? So anyway, so she used to pray saying that, God, give me a burden for souls. Okay? So Rick Joyner here, when he drank that tear, okay, which basically is symbolic of the Lord's heart, eh? Concerning the souls, eh? He got that burden for souls. Eh? He said that he began to do what? To, you know, he was crying, you know, for the lost, but even more, I was crying for the Lord. This afternoon, I was praying for myself and for you, eh? That man, God would give us what? A burden for souls. Okay? A burden for souls. Eh? Hallelujah. Right now, I have a burden, eh? For people who are in our Zoe Fellowship. You know, eh? I have a burden, eh? Huh? I have a burden, man, because that thing is dangerous. You remember last Wednesday, I shared with you that dream, eh? Did I share it on Thursday? Okay, someone who was there in Zoe, it was full, you know, grass, eh? Okay, tall grass, eh? Elephant, you know, where you even can't see the person seated in front of you. Dinners, they are there. Then Elvis comes. This day, I don't call him a prophet. He's no longer a prophet. Okay? And then he comes, you know, then he goes to the pulpit. Okay, so while he's there, this guy sees, he saw, he's in a little judge. I so a huge snake. The thing you walked out, go to the pulpit and then open its mouth and whew, swallowed Elvis. So that could be something like, that's what happens. Eh? Okay? First of all, that's how God sees the place. It's God abandoned the place already. That's why he says to grass. tall grass. God is no longer in that place. And it seems like this dream is showing that that's what happens when it's there. There's something which comes, like in Uganda, they say, into Nechimwambala. And their guys are saying, what? I honor the grace upon him, what, you know, all those things. You see, eh? Now, if you hear such a dream, man, you get a pardon, eh? Then, man, you guys take off. You know, eh? And you see, when you think about it, it's like, it is more than their money being played, their time, eh? You know, empty promises, eh? But also, it's like, this guy is capable of what? Somehow tricking these guys into hell. You understand? Because now, eh, you know, he switched masters. Okay? The other day, and I was watching TV, there's a thing called Press Box, eh, on Monday after A. I was watching one of these guys was there, you know? Kableta was invited to talk about why Zoe has taken over the cricket, you know, eh? But because I was like, let me see, because I haven't seen him since I wedded them, eh? Okay? So I was like, let me see how guys look like who have crossed over, you know, eh? No, I'm just thinking, eh? You know, eh? Not evil, but, eh? So, man, eh? From the beginning until about which minute, Kableta didn't smile. The way he was talking, eh? Maybe I was just seeing what I wanted to see, eh? But I'm telling you, he wasn't. You could see the way, you know, like there, you know, eh? There was, it was different. It's not the Kableta I knew. You know, eh? Man, I was so grieved. Eh? You look at this guy you knew, you were like best friends. Eh? And, man, eh? You know, eh? You know, because then there are dreams, eh? To that effect, was someone dreamt when saying that Kableta died a long time ago. You understand? Eh? So again, you could see, even, you know, it was sad. Eh? But you see, I believe Elvis tricked, okay, seduced Kableta into what? Those things. So if he did it for him, why don't you think he can do what? That's why now you go slow on all those guys in leadership in Zoe. You are no, you can't be very sure. Of course, pray for them that they're out. However, don't, you know, if your friends and what, be what? Slow on them. Eh? You can't be sure, man. There was a dream when Elvis was harvesting snakes together with one of the board members, the people on that board, on the Zoe board. Of course, I'm not saying that is a conclusive thing that board member was what, but it could be. So, man, you go slow now on those what will he? So, you can, you don't mean that they are, you find that they all, you know, eh? Those who enter the thing, they have another agenda altogether. The whole, they switched masters, and they are like, we are not going alone. Okay? Maybe this is the time to what? To tell you a dream I had this morning. But like most of my dreams, they are for interpretation. And thank God you're here. Okay? So, Bridget, get ready. So, listen attentively because you're going to be the first. Okay? Okay? Then Sylvia. So, in this dream, it's like med school, eh? Or Mulago. Okay? Hospital, med school, eh? A setting like that. So, Elvis is in a room, eh? Okay? He's like a doctor. Okay? And somehow, I'm there also, eh? All right? And I have my things, you know? So, he's seated at the table as a doctor, eh? At a desk. Then, of course, as a doctor now, there are patients, eh? Waiting to be seen, eh? Okay? By the doctor. Seen, examined, and treated. So, but he's not interested, eh? You know, in them, you understand? Like, these guys are just a waste of time. But then the nurse, eh? One of the nurses says, man, eh? Man, what do we want now, eh? Kids, eh? You know, eh? You kids. Then you say, okay, But even he didn't ask for kids. He first asked, he said that, okay, bring in or send in, usher in a bishop. What is this lady's name of the Lands Commission inquiry? Ukasi? Bageme? Bawa? Bamgeire? Bamgeire, that name. Okay, so usher in Bishop Bamgeire, you know, eh? Bamgeire. Okay? So, and it was a man, not what? Kathy. So I see this bishop who comes in with, of course, you know, that purple. Is it a purple, whatever, you know, with the collar, He comes in, no? Goes to the doctor, Elvis. So the doctor begins to examine him. Now, in medicine, there's what they call a patella hammer, is it? It's a patella hammer. Okay? And they use it like to check someone's reflexes. Some kind of thing they hit gently, at joints, All right? So anyway, this bishop, Bamgeire, he sits. Then now, they were, whatever, in his big toe exam, the patella hammer was supposed to be his toe. But now, in the dream, it wasn't the patella hammer. It was a hammer. A hammer. They hit. Now, in medicine, the patella hammer, you hit gently. You remember? You still use it. She still uses it. Gently. But man, this now a real hammer. And real hammering. Man. Then as I'm doing that, I decided to man. And the girl was in pain, of course, So I began to get my stuff and exit. Then everyone was so angry at me. Why are you, we could see it with a demonic thing, Because I was, taking off from him, because he wanted to mess me up. So, when he was in that process, I got my thing, then I went down, I through the door, then, I checked which gate was open, and I was like, there must be guards to block me, But somehow I was so surprised the gates were open, walked out. Then in my head I was like, now they're going to be looking for me, trying to track me down. I was like, see, from now onwards, I'll just be coming to school, I'll be staying home, and just coming to school, because I knew I was in trouble. Okay, and the dream ended. Yeah. I'm a promise keeper. Bridget. So, what do you think? Okay.
So he had no heart for the children.
Mm-hmm.
So he used to be colleagues at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Until he saw a change.
Uh-huh. Sylvia.
Yes, maybe the bishop signifies Christianity as a leader. There may be such intention.
Okay. Okay. Good. Do you want anything, Sam? Anything? You can stop there. That's what I was thinking. Why Bamgeire, Bamgeire right now, she's exposing the wrong things guys are doing. Land things, exposing. So I believe this dream was showing what Elvis is doing to people who are exposing him. Exposing, remember, the wrong things he's doing, he's involved in. You understand? He's what? Do you see that? So that shows you that dreams always look at the union. And I think, now, the thing about a bishop, why a bishop, and remember he was a male, he wasn't a female. Of course, yeah, there's that thing. Leaders, basically, who are exposing him. Then I was like, maybe that is symbolic of me. I don't know. But anyway, at least we see leaders, Christian leaders, exposing him and what he's doing to the what is, Then you remember he's a doctor, and doctors treat. So I think this dream is showing the kind of treatment. You understand when saying the treatment I'm going to give you, you understand? So I think that's why it's showing the kind of treatment who is just hammering, you know, Don't you think so? Now, that is a guy people are dealing with. And you see what makes Elvis very dangerous, is because when he was in the kingdom of God, he was advanced in spiritual things. You know, there was, in my opinion, there was, in Uganda, he had no equals, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but he was advanced. God had taught him these things from when he was a kid, before even he got born again, the things he was doing as a child. You understand? Some of us might never do them as a kid. Then later he gets born again. So and he knows the spirit world beyond, you see how to, you know how to make things happen, all right? So now, when he crosses over to the other side, he goes with that knowledge. The knowledge is not taken away from him. He goes with it, okay? But also, there are now demons of that level who are handling him. Rick Joyner said when you are like when you are in the kingdom of God and you are a P7 candidate, okay? When you cross over to the kingdom of Satan, you enter in at P7 level. You know, So if in this kingdom, P7, an angel, maybe Gabriel or Michael, whoever, any high-ranking angel of P7 level, was the one who was working with you, okay, to demonstrate great things, okay? When you cross over this side, okay, it is again a demon of that level who will handle you. That's why you can do the most ridiculous things. And people wonder, but this guy was born, how could he do that? Well, you have to understand that the demons which are handling him are what? Of that level. They're not simple things which just make you steal 10K. You know, these are things which can make you burn a whole congregation. Because you're operating at that level. Remember, here you are at P7. When you cross over, you don't start from P1. You enter in at that level. That's what makes such people very dangerous. Because the demons which are working with them are that what? You remember that dream when I was being held? Supernaturally, the invisible grip. You understand? Then the following 2 days later, it is Angel Gabriel who came to what? To set me free. What does that show you? If something takes Angel Gabriel, then that means that thing was major. The person who was doing it was working with serious entities. If it takes Michael, Gabriel, do you understand? So that's what makes this guy dangerous. And that's why you begin to grieve for people who are there. The thing is not a joke. Okay, you be there, you see. You okay, you know. It is not that, man. You start to pray for them. Hallelujah. You know, Bam Geir, you know. It's amazing. You see, God picks symbols from your life. Which, you know, dreams in a sense are easy to what? Interpret, most of them, in a sense. So God picks a symbol. He knows, you know, about what? Bam Geir. You know what she's doing. Then in a dream, he brings her in another form. Then you know, okay, Bam Geir, what is she doing? Exposing, you know, evil stuff. So that we hear, you know, and now God shows you what Elvis is doing to people who are exposing not his good things, but his evil things. Glory be to God. So, you grieve for them. Now, we want to fill God's house. Okay? God is requesting us, help me fill my house. Okay? All right? So, let's share the gospel. Let us talk to people about Jesus. Okay? Yet, at the same time, we have to make sure that those who are in the house don't exit. Okay? That's why we pray. We talk to people who are in Zoe. Because the things Elvis is involved in, I can assure you his agenda right now is to get people out of God's house. He did it later, I'm convinced. I saw Kableta yesterday. Was it the man? You could see the... He didn't smile until they talked about Champions League. He was just talking like, you know, I'm telling you, you saw him, you know, I don't think I was seeing what I wanted to see, you know, because those things, when you don't like a person, everything you see about them, in fact, even the way she looked, even the way he, you know, then someone who loves her, she said, man, you see, everyone is seeing what they want to see. Yeah, anyway, let God give us a burden for souls. Hallelujah. To fill his house. Okay? But also, may he give you a burden. Okay? For you to be part of ensuring that those who are in the house don't get out. God wants a house full, So those who are there should be kept in there as we bring in more. Hallelujah. That's why you should be bold about these things. You understand? Hallelujah. Okay? Man, this is someone I preached, I don't know which day it was, last month. And that day, Sunday, I said so many things, which I've never said like in just one whatever. Those dreams of Zoe, Elvis, many of them. Now, and that day I came thinking I'm going to talk about something. But the moment I began preaching, I went into other things. And I realized, I was like, this must be God. Who was like, let me just get you on the pulpit, and then I'll mess you up. So anyway, after I preached, I was like, I think this someone shouldn't be what? Put on the website. You know, I thought, this one, it was too much. Okay? So I'm thinking about it Sunday, you know, I go to bed at night. I was like, this one is too much. I say too much. All right? Then, you know, I'm doing a cover, to cover. Okay? So that morning, Monday morning, I'm supposed to read. Anyway, I find myself in Ephesians 5. And Ephesians 5, there's a verse which talks about, which is telling us to expose the works of darkness. And I was like, I think God is telling me, put that someone there. Because it is exposing the works of darkness. And so I put it there. But I was like, anyway, you know. So I put it there now. Yeah, on Thursday, there's a young man who came for prayers. You know, he has never any. He's not a member of LAT. So he comes and I know him outside LAT. So I talked to him, you know, okay. But Denise is the one who apparently had talked to him about the Zoe things. Okay? I knew that, you know, because anyway. So anyway, later after Thursday, I text her. And I tell her, it looks like you converted someone. Then she tells me, no, it is not me, it is you. All I did was to send him this someone. The someone which I didn't want what? To put. I put it there, Denise, who gets it, sends it to the guy. Apparently the guy listened to it, and he just said, I believe him. And the guy exited Zoe. He just listened to a sermon, say, I believe him. And the guy, he's out. Okay? Hopefully, he's the one who will help us to get his girlfriend out. Hallelujah. You see, So now, just someone which I didn't want to put, but God is like, put it there, expose the works of what? That someone listened to it. Now, I hope he shared it with other people. The guy just listened to it and said, I believe him. And he exited. So that's why he came on Thursday just, I guess, to check us out. You know. Okay, exposing now. Okay, so the bum girls. You understand? Hey, but don't fear. Like, there's a dream she had. Those are just fear things. Hey, there's nothing about them. Glory be to God. They're just what? This thing is ending soon. Yeah? Hallelujah. So, may God give us a burden for souls. All right? May God give us a test of his tear, that we may love lost souls the way he loves them. Glory be to God. Okay? Hallelujah. All right? Page 25, paragraph 1. Wisdom led me down the mountain to the very lowest level, which was named salvation. I was appalled by the carnage at this level. Every soldier was very badly wounded, but none of them were dead. Multitudes were barely clinging to the edge. Many seemed to fall off, but none did. Angels were everywhere ministering to the soldiers with such great joy that I had to ask, why are they so happy? These angels have beheld the courage that it took for these to hold on. They may not have gone any farther, but neither did they give up. They will soon be healed. Then they will behold the glory of the rest of the mountain and they will begin to climb. These will be great warriors for the battle to come. But wouldn't they have been better off to climb the mountain with the rest of us? I protested, seeing their present condition. It would have been better for them, but not for you. By staying here, they kept most of your enemies occupied, and that made it easier for you to climb. Very few, now this man, this is sad, very few from the higher levels, pastors, you know, people who are mature in the Lord. He said, very few from the higher levels ever reached out to help others come to the mountain, basically to get born again. But this did. Even when barely clinging to the mountain themselves, they would reach out to pull others up. In fact, most of the mighty warriors were led to the mountain by these faithful ones. These who stayed and faithfully fought on the level of salvation are no less heroes than the ones who made it to the top. They brought great joy to heaven by leading others to salvation. It was for this reason that all the angels in heaven wanted to come to minister to them, but only the most honored were permitted. Okay? One of the key lessons we draw from this is that very few people have been born again for some time and have grown in the Lord. Very few of them are actually preaching the gospel, telling people about the Lord. The pastor Moses says, you know, the Bishop Bamgere, you know, okay? They're not sharing the gospel. It is guys who have just gotten saved, who are that level, who are always drawing in their kind of friends and self-friends. But now God wants you and I, you have grown in the Lord, okay, to get interested again in the lost souls. Hallelujah. You remember when you just got saved? How, man, you wanted the whole school to get saved. You wanted your entire family to get saved. You even thought about your grandfather in the village. You were like, maybe that's why our family is cursed. That great father, when I go to the village, I'm going to preach to him. You had that zeal. You wanted everyone, your boss, you tell them about the Lord without fear. But then somehow as you know, while you grew and then somehow that zeal, you know, died away. You no longer tell people about the Lord. You only talk to Christians, okay? Telling them deep things, angels, Bible, you know. All right? Which is not bad, but God also wants you, okay, to talk to those who are not born again. Are you going to do it? Please, talk to people. You see, God wants his house full, and he's counting on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. It says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many
to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. We're talking about angels now, stars, and now we are what? Stars. Okay? So those who turn many to righteousness shall shine like the stars forever and what? And ever. May you be among those. Eh? Hallelujah. Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." He who wins souls is what? Is wise. "And shall shine like the stars forever and ever." Glory be to God. Page 80. Okay, page 80, paragraph 3. Rick Joyner says, "I now looked at that man, Angelo, a king sitting on a throne far more glorious than Solomon could have ever imagined. Hosts of angels were arrayed about him, waiting to do his bidding." Okay, so he was seated as a what? As a king, eh? Okay? You know, kings have crowns. I hope you know that. I remembered some experience Kenneth Hagin had, you know, where you know he was talking, where Jesus appeared to him, and he showed him a soul winner's crown. And told him, "This is a soul, it is a crown for soul winners." Then he told him that, "I tell my children to talk to so-and-so, you know, and they ignore, you know, and say this crown is for soul winners." So we can see Angelo had it. Because we see he's sitting on the throne, so it means he has a crown. You understand? And God wants you to have a crown, a soul winner's crown. Hallelujah. So anyway, Rick Joyner sees him on the throne. Now, let's see who this Angelo is, in paragraph 2. Somewhere it says in paragraph 2 that Angelo had been born deaf. Okay, so this is a deaf guy. He was abused and kept in a dark, cold attic until he was found by the authorities when he was 8 years old. Okay, so an 8-year-old kid has been born blind. He's abused. He's thrown into some dark place. Okay? Then he had been shifted from one institution to another where the abuse would continue. Finally, he was turned out onto the streets. Okay? Now let's go to paragraph 6. It says that Angelo, now this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Angelo could not hear, but he had learned to read. So I sent him a gospel tract." You understand? Gospel tracts work, man. We have them in LAT. If you can't speak, you're like Angelo, you can't, you don't hear. You're deaf, you know, Okay. Or the person you're going to, you want to tell about the Lord, they can't hear. A gospel tract can work. And so he says, Angelo could not hear, but he had learned to read. So I sent him a gospel tract. As he read it, the Spirit opened his heart and he gave his life to me. I again doubled the portions of my love to him and he faithfully used all of them. He wanted to share me with others. Remember, this is a kid, man, a homeless kid. Has been abused since childhood. But, you know, the conditions were terrible. But somehow he missed the Lord and he wants to share, to tell everyone about the Lord. He wanted to share me with others, but he could not speak. Even though he lived in such poverty, he started spending over half of everything he made on gospel tracts to give out on street corners. Hallelujah. Okay? Then Rick Joyner asked the Lord, "How many did he lead to you?" Okay? I asked, thinking that it must have been multitudes, for him to be sitting with kings. "One,"
The Lord answered. The guy won only one soul. One, the Lord answered. In order to encourage him, I let him lead a dying alcoholic to me. It encouraged him so much that he would have stood on that corner for many more years just to bring another soul to repentance. But all of heaven was entreating me to bring him here quickly. And I too wanted him to receive his reward. Glory be to God. The guy just gave out one tract. Or he gave out tracts but just got one person born again on the street. You know, and when you look at the condition, how he was born, how he grew up, you know, man. But you could see he was ready to share the gospel. And now the guy is a king. He's just, you know, seated on a throne in heaven. And remember, some of those thrones are still empty. They're waiting for you. And one of the ways you can qualify to sit on those thrones is by what? Participating in filling God's house. Bringing in more souls to the kingdom. If they don't come, at least you talk to them. Hallelujah. That's what God wants us to do. Okay? Most of us here have been born again for many years. So most of our friends are all born again. So, you know, so now we are complacent. We no longer share the gospel. We no longer, you know, but God is like man. Okay? Return to that first, you know, that first love. When you wanted my house to be filled. Glory be to God. You remember our primary calling as a church is to bring God's salvation to the ends of the earth. Remember, Christ for the nations. So we must be doing a bit of it. At every one of us, at our devil, until God will raise us as a church to now do even bigger things. Okay? Nations, you know. Okay? But every one of us, you know, you can share God. You can send someone a message, a text message, a WhatsApp message, an email. Okay? You can share these gospel tracts. You can talk to someone about the Lord. All right? Remember, God wants his house full. Amen? So, Father, we thank you. Father, may you give us a burden for souls. Give us a burden for souls, Father. May we have a taste of your tears, just like Rick Joyner did. And when he did, he cried out for souls. Father, we also need that impartation. The impartation from your heart. Give us a burden for souls, Father. And Father, may it be reality to us. May it come to our consciousness that there is a house, your house, that needs to get filled. And if it is not filled, all those souls that were supposed to be in that house are headed to hell. Father, may we realize what hell is and what heaven is. Because if we do that, then we shall take this matter very seriously. Father, help us. We thank you, Father, that we are not alone. You're with us. We thank you, Father, for there are even angels whom you have assigned to help us in this work. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.